I do want to share an experience that I had. We allowed to share experiences. Friday evening, Deb's sister called, and her daughter, our niece, she was due to marry this boyfriend of hers. He's in a wheelchair, and they were just going to the justice of the peace. But she was carrying him, and he's a very thin guy, and she dropped him. And he broke his femur. So he's in the hospital. And so her mother called me and wanted to know if I could go over to the hospital. And she said, and say a few words. Now, I have no idea what that means. But I thought, I know what's going to happen here. They want to get married. And she met me at the lobby of the hospital. Of course, you still have to do the mask routine when you're in the hospital. He was in a private room. And she said, we want to get married. We want it to be 3/3/23. Okay, I understand that. So I went up, and he's in bed. He seems to be in good spirits. And they wanted to get married, so I married them. It was the most unusual wedding I think I have ever been part of. I mean, he's in a hospital bed, and it was short. I did everything from memory, everything that I could remember, and must have worked. I mean, she put on Facebook that they were married now, and I had the license, I signed it and mailed it in, and I'm sorry? No, it was just them. They're planning on doing something bigger later with the whole family and everything. And someone down there in the lobby of the hospital, Lindsay is her name. She works there at the hospital. And they knew what was going on. When I was leaving, this lady says, is it over already? I said, yeah. Yeah, it's done. I'm still just reeling from that. I can't get over that. Never done anything like that before, ever. And then you realize, they're thinking, oh, they just want my signature on the thing and send it in. That's all they wanted. And so anyway, we're going to start today in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 9. For a title, and I didn't send a title to Ed for the bulletin because I wasn't really sure what I was going to do. The title would be Something New. Something New. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're grateful for your word, and we pray that as we read and study it, that our knowledge of you would increase, and that you might be glorified in our lives. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I just finished going through the book of Ecclesiastes with our ninth grade class at school. I thought, wow, this is a great book. And I don't think that we often look at Ecclesiastes, but I think that this phrase, no new thing under the sun, and I think that pretty much wraps up Solomon's life, who he's the one writing. He's at the end of his life, and he's a man who had anything he ever wanted. Wealthy. Very wise. I mean, God appeared to him and gave him essentially a blank check. Ask whatever you want. It's yours. And that's when he asked for wisdom. But I think in Ecclesiastes, we're looking at a man who is bordering on insanity. And I want to look at some selected verses in this book because I find that they're incredible. And I think that somehow we've gotten a wrong impression of the book. One of the things I did at school when we were in this book, back in the 60s, a group called The Byrds wrote a song, Turn, Turn, Turn. It was based on Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and I found it on YouTube, of course, and I played it for them. They had never heard it. I thought, gosh, we heard it all the time. And I said, open your Bible and just follow along. And the words are printed. You know, the captions were there. And the words were very, very close to everything in the King James Bible. Very interesting. And people have said, oh, that's such a nice chapter. It's such nice poetry. And I think, I don't think so. I think Solomon is expressing the despair of the fact that there is a routine for everything. And I think you read between the lines, I think he's saying, I'm sick of this. I'm tired of this. There is no purpose. All right, starting right out, look at verse 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And vanity just means empty. It's all empty. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about into the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. You see, I think you're hearing sort of the despair of the man. And what he's saying, when he says there's no new thing under the sun, everything just continues. It's just his continual routine. And I thought verse 7 is amazing. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. And I thought, you know, it doesn't take a lot of wisdom to know that if you go to the ocean and take a bucket and lift a bucket of water out of the ocean, the level does not go down. It just doesn't move. And I think that's one of the things he's looking at. He's saying, well, the rivers are running into the sea, but the sea's not full. It's not running over. It's this continual, and you almost get the sense of, to him, it's monotony. Verse 8, all things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. Solomon, I think that he's just in despair. But I think when he writes this, when he said there is no new thing under the sun, I think that's his view. I don't think it's God's view. I think he's just writing about the folly of routine without God. Because we'll see that in a moment. That's one of the things that he says in the very end of the book, in chapter 12. Verse 13, Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I think as you read through Ecclesiastes and he describes everything that's happening, I think he's talking about routine without God. And I think that we're looking at a world right now that is following a routine without God. They have no room for God whatsoever. And Solomon, looking at everything going on, and he's looking at possessions that he had, and he realizes, hey, I have all these possessions, this generation has all these possessions, what's going to happen? They're going to die, and they become the possessions of someone else. Someone else has to take care of it. And it just continues every generation. And I think Solomon's looking at it and saying, what's the use? It's all vanity. It's all empty. There's no purpose to it whatsoever. And this, I think, is the world that we see today. It's a world apart from God. And in terms of the word evil, to me, the biblical definition of evil is anything done apart from God. God is not in it. So it can be good, but it's still evil if God is not in it. And Solomon, I think, is just describing that. If you look at chapter 2, verse 11, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. So there's no purpose. Why am I doing this? In chapter 3, verse 15, that which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. You ever hear people say history repeats itself? There you go. That's kind of what he's saying. He said it's all happened before. It's the same thing. Chapter 4, verse 8. There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother. Yet is there no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity. Yea, it is a sore travail. Again, what's the use? Chapter 5, verse 10. This is a good one. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. Solomon had all the silver you could ever want. He had all the riches you could ever want. But he wasn't satisfied. There wasn't anything in it that would satisfy him. Chapter 8, verse 6. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him. Every purpose, time and judgment. Chapter 9, verse 11. And the way to remember this verse is it's 9:11. And this is a good one. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Time and chance. And so I think in that sense, he's saying, hey, I spent a lot of time making plans, storing up these riches. Makes no difference. It's all time and chance. No matter what you see, it's time and chance. And there are those that like to say, well, God has it all planned out for you. He's had it planned out since the beginning of the world, and every step you take, he's ordering this step. No. Time and chance happen to them all. why do these things happen the way that they do? It's time and chance. It just happens. Chapter 10, verse 20. Curse not the king, know not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber, for a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. You ever heard the phrase, a little birdie told me? It comes from that verse right there. Because you wonder how people find out things. And I would always ask my mother that. How did you know? Well, a little birdie told me. That's kind of what he's saying there. He said that it's going to be found out. And again, I think he's thinking the folly of it all. It doesn't matter. Chapter 11, verse 5, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. It can't be known. And then we looked at those last two verses of the book. That's his conclusion. You better have God. Now Solomon was a man that seems to have been taken over by his own passions and emotions. He was a man who had 700 wives. Not only that, he had 300 concubines, and it was said that wives were for the legitimate children and concubines were for sexual pleasure. The man was busy. 700 wives. 300, 1,000 women he's with. And God had told them, said the king is not to multiply wives or go into other lands and bring back wives, which Solomon went to Egypt and brought back these women, because God said they'll turn your heart from God. And that's what it says happened to Solomon. His heart was turned by those women that he loved. Turned away from God, and he began worshiping the false gods. So he gets to the end of his life, and here we're reading it. He's saying, there's nothing new. History repeats itself. But as I said, that's Solomon's viewpoint. That is not God's viewpoint. Another man, at the end of his life, King Saul said to David, I have played the fool. I have sinned. A little late to realize that, I think, Saul. But what a shame to get to the end of their life and realize, I should have stayed with God. I should have just stayed there. Now, I would remind us of our three assumptions, and I do this every time I speak, pretty much. Because it's important that we understand these things. And the first one is that God exists. We believe in God as He is revealed in the Bible. There are people that might tell you they believe in God, but they don't believe in the Bible. Well, that's not the God that I believe in. The second assumption is the Bible is true as we have it in the King James Bible. And the third thing, faith is required. Faith is required for those first two. We believe by faith that God exists, and we believe the Bible by faith. Now, since Solomon said there's no new thing under the sun, I thought, okay, I've got to look at this word. Because my contention is, that is Solomon's view. That's not God's view. When I use the word new, I found two definitions for it. The first one is, having been made but a short time. It's just come into existence. The second definition I really like is being other than the former or old. It's not like the former. And it's not old. It hasn't happened. It hasn't existed. It is new. So we're going to go through some passages that I found about some new things. Again, when Solomon says there's no new thing under the sun, to me that's his view, not God's. I want to go back to the book of Joshua, chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3, verse 4. Well, we'll look at verse 3. They commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. That is new. Joshua says, you've not been this way before. You've been in the wilderness for 40 years, but guess what? We're moving on now. And he's giving them the instructions, and the reason he's telling them what to do, he says, for you have not passed this way heretofore. You've not been here. This is new territory. So this is a time you can't say, well, there's nothing new under the sun. Yeah, well, yes, there is. They have not been this way. In the book of Numbers, chapter 16, there's been a rebellion against Moses. We'll start with verse 28. And Moses said, hereby you shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own hand, or mine own mind. If these men die in the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, now there's our word new, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then you shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses and all the men that appertain unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. He said, but if the Lord make a new thing, it had never happened before. And it happened just as he said. And this was a new thing. Now another book, Lamentations, chapter 3. Written by Jeremiah. And it lives up to its name, Lamentations. Jeremiah, his message to Israel was, you're going into captivity. You're going into Babylon, captivity, and you might as well just go peacefully. There were the false prophets against Jeremiah saying, don't listen to him. He doesn't know what he's talking about. The Lord is going to deliver us from Babylon, from Nebuchadnezzar, and everything's going to be fine. They even threw him into the dungeon because of what he had prophesied. But when it happens, as he said, he's writing the book of Lamentations. He's lamenting over this captivity and over Jerusalem. But in the middle of the book, it kind of has a bright spot. In chapter 3, verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Now, we have the hymn that we have sung about great is thy faithfulness. And it's from this passage. But his mercies are new every morning. They are new every morning. No new thing under the sun? Oh, His mercies are new. Back to chapter 1, verse 31. Jeremiah 31:30. The days come, saith the Lord, that will make new covenant and with the house of Judah. That what does pertain to this actually? Because that implies right away an old covenant to been in existence. Was the covenant only is new with the house? Look not at others, took them. I wasn't them, saith the Lord. But this she looked that I will, and run their heart, and will be their. So covenant they could they because poor being brought right he wins that leave Isaiah chapter 65:7. This team is going to create new for the sun. Who Isaiah said let he feel in his flesh the new and new work that comes over. Understand this in time for now man we one new man. And he even talks about how in the fullness of times, everything's going to be brought under Christ. Everything that he's done with the nation of Israel and the old covenant and their new covenant and what he's done with the Gentile body of Christ, it's all going to be under him. That's going to be his work. So the new man. Now back in Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. In fact, we also need to get with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Galatians 6, 15. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Galatians 6:15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. There is that new man. That work that he's doing through Christ, the new creature. And he tells about it in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. See, there's our word new. And you can't say there's no new thing under the sun. Hey, God said this is new. If we're in Christ, we're a new creature. The old things have passed away. All things have become new. And this is why I talk about those assumptions. I believe this by faith. Because I think I'm still me. I look in the mirror and I see that same person looking back at me every day. But this passage says if I'm in Christ, I'm a new creature. That the old things are passed away. And the way that he did this, verse 21, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ, who knew no sin, was made to be sin for us. Only because all of our sin was taken from us and laid upon Him. Made to be sin. And we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Not our own righteousness. That's not worth anything. But it's His righteousness. And this is what's new. I think that when we look at these books that written by Paul the Apostle, it's all new information. They didn't have it before. And I've told my students at school, hey, if you took the epistles of Paul out of your Bible there's a lot of information you're going to be missing. You won't know really how to be saved or have any kind of assurance of your own salvation without those books that he wrote. Because he's the one that tells us about the new man and that we are a new creature. So to me, only someone who does not want God involved in their life sees that there's no new thing under the sun. They're the ones caught up in the routine. Same thing happens all the time. History repeats itself. There's nothing new. Well, they don't want God involved in their life. And the fact that it's new implies that it has not been that way before. And when you read these passages from Paul the Apostle, it wasn't that way before. It is new. So in Christ, we are new. You might want to spend some time reading Ecclesiastes. The poor man that wrote that. Very frustrated. Almost beside himself. But he didn't understand the word new. What he was looking at, oh, he's the